Radio crew, let's get to work. Hope everybody's well. This week's guest is Miss Jasmine Paul. Jasmine is a hairdresser and barber specializing in men's hair and beard grooming. With over 14 years experience, Jasmine shares her tips and tricks when it comes to choosing a great style to suit the individual. Expect to learn how hairdressers can stay up to date with the latest trends and styles, how to choose a style that complements your unique features and individual personality, what to do when you're not satisfied with a hairdresser's work, the common mistakes that hairdressers make and what to look out for, the mistakes that people make when requesting a new hairstyle, advice for men looking to take care of a good beard, and of course, all things hairdressing and barbering you could ever want to know, including a celebrity cut I once requested that ended in absolute disaster. Crew, as a man in his mid-30s, I've only just come to realize the benefits to a good barber. Sticking to the basic just cuts hair dressing franchise as a teen to just going along to whoever was close and convenient at the time, it's fair to say that these days I have complete value for a good barber. They are absolutely worth their weight in gold. To me, a good barber isn't just about the hair, it's about the relationship and an opportunity to connect with somebody who isn't normally in your friendship group. A good, tidy, clean trim can leave you feeling refreshed, confident, and ready to tackle life's obstacles with a spring in your step. So let's hear from a fantastic hairdresser trimming the good trim. Please welcome Miss Jasmine Paul.
Good,
really good. I've had this same conversation with a few people in the last couple of weeks where I've challenged myself and others to start a conversation without saying, how are you? Because the generic response is always good. And then the other person says, good. And then they say, how are you? And it's almost like this pleasantry that you have to get out of the way before you can actually get to asking what you want to ask, or they ask you what they want to ask you.
Yeah.
So other than the fact that I know that you're good and that you've told me that you're good, you cut amazing hair.
Thank you.
And I'm not a good example. Even though people that are maybe watching this on Instagram or whatever, you'll see my beard quite ragged and you'll see my hair not very well groomed. I'm sure Jasmine can attest that I am very rarely in the salon. Not because I don't want to, I just, it doesn't ever come around. I'm probably one of those guys that doesn't stay up to date with it. But Jasmine cuts amazing hair. Jasmine, tell us a little bit about how you got into hairdressing and what's the person needs to do that are thinking about getting into hairdressing? What sort of qualifications do they need to start trimming the good trim?
It's probably not the qualifications that you need. It's probably more the things within yourself as a person. When it comes to hairdressing and barbering, you're very much in the view of people, so you got to watch what you say. But at the same time, you have to be reasonably approachable and still stay professional and be able to talk and take on the other person's feelings, obviously, and also be very good at what you do. If you think it's going to be a career where you literally sit there and get to fluff around and talk about your feelings and you literally get to stand there and talk to your friends. It's not like that at all.
Every time I go into a hairdresser, I look at the posters and, like, posters change, styles change. I think when I was in high school, there was like the trend was like the undercut. So it was like, you know, you shaved underneath and it started off more like a bowl cut where it was just like the same length to a point and then it would shave under that. And then it, like, you weren't kind of cool until you went the next level, which was to have like shaved underneath with the hair going over the top. And so why am I telling you all this? Like, I don't know if that was around when you were in high school, but it was when I was.
Yeah.
And that was like the theme and the, like, it was kind of like the in thing. How on earth do you guys keep your finger on the pulse when it comes to like the latest trends, the latest styles? What's the go with it? How do you start today?
In the past, there was so many different books and stuff. So every month you'd get like a subscription for like a barbershop catalog or a hairdressing catalog. And that was full of photos and pictures and stuff like that. When the hairdressing career, like, or industry, you do lots of things like you upskill all the time. Like, because it's something that's consistently and always changing, you got to change with the times, you need to evolve and things like that. So you do lots of different courses which show you how to foil a certain way, to colour it a certain way, and to even cut it a certain way, because it's all changed and we have all of our bases, and our bases still stay the same throughout every single haircut. But obviously how the end product is obviously it changes. So now it's actually heaps easier. We have social media. Social media is awesome for things in staying up to date. There are so many great barbers out there all around the world, even Australian. I follow a lot of female barbers, which they blow my mind. They are insanely good at what they do, and I hope to be like that one day. But they kind of help you keep, all these new styles that are coming through, and they show you little tips and techniques and stuff like that. But basically, it all just stays the same. It's just the style changes, essentially.
Is there like a Bible of haircuts that you guys can look in? Like, is there like such a thing that comes out like monthly or weekly? And if there's not, there's totally a market for that. Could you imagine somebody who literally collated all of the haircuts, the latest trends and styles, and put it into a magazine? I'm sure it must exist, but that put it does, that into a magazine and then sold it to hairdressers. Dude, you would make a killing.
Well, funnily enough, there is one. It's called The Barbershop. We get it every few months, I think. And it's, there's workshops, there's ideas, there's massive pieces on all these other barbers that have traveled the world and all this sort of stuff. But they all show very up and coming styles and products and, things like that are coming up. And it's free.
Would you ever consider traveling abroad? Would you ever consider 100%. Traveling abroad to like cut hairs and expand your repertoire?
100%. I would love to be able to do that. Fun fact, Australian hairdressers are one of the most qualified hairdressers in the world because we do so much training.
So, I mean, we all know that everyone has a different face. Everyone is not as good looking as somebody else, and some are ugly ducklings like myself. And we're looking for ways to try and make ourselves look better.
Yep.
And I guess it doesn't matter who you are. If you have some pride in your appearance, you're wanting to capitalize on whatever features you do have.
Mm-hmm.
How do you style, or what sort of things do you look out for when you're cutting hair in order to make sure that either your client is getting something that is going to complement their unique features, or do you find that like they have an idea already in their mind as to what complements their features? And if they don't, like for those of us thinking, how could I improve my like asking, or how can I improve my acquiring of such a cut that would complement the features? Is there any advice for people that you have on that as well?
Oh, totally, totally. Be honest with yourself. Honestly, that's probably the biggest thing you can do. If you don't have a jaw, say I don't have a jaw. And I can be like, okay, cool. Let's bring your beard up a little bit and shape it in and bring it into like towards your face a little bit more. And what that'll do, it will give you more of a defined jawline. So, but it's the same as if someone has a big forehead, for instance. You don't obviously cut the hair super high up around their forehead. Obviously, it makes it all look very long and emphasizes that fact. So honestly, just don't deny your little issues that you have, and just be honest. And if your barber or your hairdresser is at least any good at what they do, they will go, cool, all right, we are working with this and this, and they will find a good solution for you.
I used to think that when you went to a barber, like if I took in a magazine or like a photo of a style that I liked, that it would look the same on that person as it did for me. And like I actually probably, like this is probably before I met you, I probably tried that a couple of times where, like, it really didn't work out well. In fact, like, I pretty well clearly remember people telling me that, like, that looks atrocious, or just laughing, like, what on earth have you done to yourself? And it was just, like, me thinking. It was more of, like, a fantasy. It was, like, this little fantasy of my own hair going, you know what? That haircut's cool. I want to have that. But it just never looked the same. Like, the color wasn't the same. The shape of the head wasn't the same. Do you think that many people fall into that trap of thinking that they can just have whatever cool style they see on TV or something like that?
Oh, totally. Massively. And the fact that so many influencers now actually, like, let's just say the Kardashians, for instance, they've all got, like, jet black hair, yeah? And then I think it was Kim that did this blonde thing And it literally looked like she went from black, like level one black, to like a level 10 blonde. That is not doable. Like, you can't do that in one sitting. That is at least 15 hours worth of work. Whether you do it all together or in split days, it, yeah, everything takes time. And yeah, a lot of influencers now actually make it look like it's achievable, unfortunately. But at the same time, I feel like enough people now are very aware of what influencers actually do and can be a little bit more real about that subject.
I think that that's particularly true for people like your age or my age, but I still feel that there's like a really big generation of like young folk that when they that stuff, they actually fully believe it. And I think it comes from the fact that they are spending just so much time on that platform, whether it be Instagram or TikTok or whatever. And they just spend so much time engrossed in that, that like that becomes their reality. So if you've got like a girl changing like hair color every day of the week, like some of them that are slightly more intellectual might go, oh, like she's probably or he's probably just, you know, changed the color of hair like one week to the next, recorded it all and then posted it up as like, you know, each day is a different color, not having any idea of like what, you know, went on beforehand. Whereas I think like obviously the true hey tell to all of that would be what about like an Instagram story? Like if their Instagram story or like, you know, the story mode where it's more of like a live feature or Facebook Live or something like that, if that's showing like a color that isn't, you know, one of the colors that they've just changed, like they're probably going to be able to pick up with it. But I think there's so many young people that are going, oh, wow, like that is totally true. It's like any industry, isn't it? It's just like, you know, the illusion versus like the reality of what's needed behind closed doors sort of thing.
Yeah. And the filters. Yeah. The filters, oh, my goodness. The filters are just not cool. There are so many filters now that say if you have, you've gone blonde, for instance, and your hair's not that perfect blonde that you want it to be, swipe a filter over it and it's the perfect color. And so many people will go, oh my goodness, I've seen this girl's color and that's exactly what I want. Whereas a lot of them aren't actually, they don't know that it's a filter or it's been edited or something like that. But some, yes, okay, in the perfect situation and with all the perfect little things about a person, their hair and all that sort of stuff, you can achieve that color. It is achievable. Whether it's achievable on this particular person isn't always.
Yeah, 100%. It goes back to that thing of like, yeah, different styles and colors are always going to suit different people. There was this haircut I used to watch. I don't know if you've seen this TV series, but have you ever watched Spartacus?
Yes.
You have? Not the movie, but the TV series.
Yes.
All right, give me a character. Give me the name of any character.
No, on Spartacus, it was the guy from Kingdom, wasn't it? One of the guys from Kingdom. It's a TV series about MMA fighting. It was filmed in America.
Oh, okay.
The main guy from that, I'm pretty sure he was in Spartacus. It was like a 3-season show, was it?
I think it was. Maybe? But there was this guy on there. Yeah. His name was Crixus, or that was his, like, I think he's actually like a character in like real history. He's a character that fought along Spartacus in the story. Anyway, off topic, he had this like super cool haircut, like really nice. Like it was just super aggressive and edgy and I super liked it. And I tried to do it on me and I literally just looked like a peacock. Like it was terrible.
but you got hard hair though.
You've got me thinking a little bit. I might have to go back to the archives and see if I can dig up a few shots and bring them in next time I come in for a cut.
Pretty please. That'd be amazing.
Maybe you can make my dream become true.
Look, maybe I can. I want to
look like Crixus of Spartacus.
That is hilarious.
What about if, I mean, you've all heard, like I've been in hairdressers before, not so much when I've been in there with you, but I've been in different barbers before and like maybe bigger ones and like you hear like somebody complaining or I don't know, they've had a rough cut or they're not happy with the job and they're sort of, you know, they get like pretty defensive, like it's their image, whatever. But do you think that there's a way or a method or just like would you have any advice for people that, you know, actually get to the end? Because I feel like a lot of people, they get it and they just go, you know what? It's good enough.
Yeah.
Or like that's fine if it's good enough. Or they're just too polite and they won't say anything.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for people handling that? You know, they get a cut, they're not happy. What should they do? How should they say it?
Awesome. Yeah.
Give me a script.
A script. Ooh, okay. So to start off with, if you are going into a new barbershop, be very clear with what you want. Have photos of a previous haircut that is on you, and so you can show them what you want, right? If you are unhappy and you're looking and you're watching the process, as we all do, right? And if halfway through it's looking a little bit average, that is your point to go, excuse me, can we go over this again? Or are you doing this or are you doing that? Because quite frankly, a lot of busy barbershops, you kind of forget sometimes what you were doing. You've seen so many people, or you're tired, or you've had a bad day. And like, we all do it, right? We all do it. So sometimes they might be off in their own little world and they probably aren't there essentially, right? So this is where you can actually go up and say, hey, did you want to see that photo again? And that's your first polite way of saying, hey, this is not going where I think it's going. So do you want to see that photo again? And maybe talk to them about it a little bit more. If not, because once you're at the end, right, and if they're not talented enough to be able to fix it, you're stuck with that haircut. So if you be 150% honest from the get-go about it, and yeah, just touch base with that barber or the hairdresser in between and go, hey, do you think we could go a little bit longer here? And that way you're trying to stop what could quite possibly be a really disastrous haircut for you.
I feel like it's like, this is just my personal opinion, but I feel like it's such a first world problem. Like, if you gave me a haircut and it was like 50% what I was looking for, I honestly wouldn't say shit. Like, I'd go, you know what? Cool. It's shorter. Like, I'm done. I wouldn't say anything. But, you know, every time I look, I go, oh, like it could be better or whatever. I think like some people, I mean, it's different horses for different courses. For me personally, it would have to be a pretty bad cut for me to be like, whoa, slow down. Let's have a little bit of a look at this. But at the same time, I also get that, you know, you can't uncut hair. Like, once it's cut, it's cut.
Yeah, once it's done, it's done. Yeah.
But I mean, what's worst case scenario? You're stuck with a haircut until it grows back for like, what, 2 to 3 weeks?
Sure. If it's really bad, you shave it. Yeah.
But it's funny, isn't it? Like 2 to 3 weeks and it's going to be malleable again and ready to go. But like,
yeah,
obviously, I didn't realize this. I think you told me that some people literally come in like once to twice a week to get a cut.
Yep.
Like, they're having more frequent cuts because they want to keep it that certain style.
Yeah.
So that makes more sense, I guess, if you're doing that.
Yeah, but don't forget, though, and I'm pretty sure we've had this conversation before, is that women, we have fake tan, we have wigs, we can color our hair, we can wear makeup, right? And that's how we make ourselves feel better on a bad day. For guys, you literally have your haircut and your beard. And if either of those are stuffed up, you're going to feel like absolute rubbish until it can be fixed or it's grown out or whatever. But like, especially, it's not about being like a vain person, because sometimes you just like to look good, if you know what I mean. Like, and that's how we get haircuts, is to make ourselves feel better. Also to obviously keep it out of our eyes and stuff like that. But a lot of the time, like a lot of my clients come in because one, they're having a bad day, or two, they want to make themselves feel better and look better, or they're getting ready for a first date or an interview or things like that, and they want to feel good and look good, and it gives them that confidence that they need. And especially you see it in a lot of younger and probably about middle-aged men.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, I'm so glad we've had this conversation, because it's actually making me think about the process of getting my hair cut. And it's something, as you know, that's usually on the back burner for me. But if I think about how I feel after a haircut, I always feel lighter, not just physically, but mentally as well. Like, oh, I totally feel like I'm somehow more – I feel like my life's more organized.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm somehow sharper, not just like through the aesthetics, but also sharper mentally. I don't know why. There's just a correlation between feeling like you don't have hair down all over your face and kind of scraggly and everywhere.
Mm.
And a feeling of being precise.
Mm. You're clean.
Would be how I'd describe
it. Yeah, you're clean.
Yeah, yeah. And I think actually one of my other mates, he, when he gets a cut, like he gets them way more frequently than I do, but he always has like a certain step, or the way that he talks and walks is always, I notice, different. I think I've even like raised that up as a conversation with him once before, where he actually like looks and sounds and talks a little bit different after a cut. It's quite bizarre.
Oh, totally. Like, when, obviously, like our shop has a massive window that you see out into the street with. And it's one of the things I love about my job is afterwards, I love watching people walk across the road and then walk up the street. And they're standing that little bit taller, their chest is out that little bit more, they've got their strut on because they're feeling good because they know they look good. And it's one of the best things about the job is to be able to bring that little bit of joy into someone's life.
Yeah, fair call. What's the strangest thing somebody's ever told you whilst you've cut their hair?
Oh, the strangest.
Like, what's just the wackiest, weirdest? Like, I don't mean like the creepiest, because I'm sure there's a bunch of creepy ones.
Oh,
but like
there
just
is.
The,
I've got a long list
just
of those.
Absolute out there and weird things that someone said while you're cutting their hair.
That he was going to look as fresh as a duck.
Oh, fresh as a duck. How does a duck look fresh?
Exactly. It does not make sense whatsoever.
Dear me. Do you ever have people fall asleep? Like, you know, they're just
all
like
the
cutting their hair and it's just
all
like.
All the time. Yeah.
Yep. Do you just keep cutting or do you wake them up?
No, I keep cutting. One of my really good friends, he is a small business owner who is very busy, very, very, very busy. And every time he comes into my chair, he'll talk for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it's like watching like a robot shut down. Like he slumps a little bit more. He gets real comfortable. His breathing changes. And especially if you're doing people's beards, like once your head's back on that headrest, man, I know way too many things about some people. And it makes me feel like a bit of a creep because it means I know what you look like when you're falling asleep. So, because they will twitch.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure that not just you, but like, yeah, I reckon that hairdressers in general would be, I mean, it's like if you could create an app, a hairdresser is like an app that you talk to that talks back, but only talks back regarding the stuff that you've told. Like it's almost like a sounding board. It's like a little app that you can confide in and sort of know most of the time what you tell them is probably going to be confidential, unless it's like, you know, something crazy and their friends, like hairdressers are going to talk, right? That's human nature. But like most of the time, like I reckon most of what's spoken about is like this little confiding journey.
Oh, yeah, totally. Have,
right? Would you say that that's pretty true?
100%. Yeah, well, especially in my case, I have so many people come up to me and I'll be the first one that finds out that their wife's pregnant or they're getting married or they're about to propose or they're going ring shopping. Like the amount of stuff like that that I know and that I'm the first person that hears about it is quite interesting. But it's also really, really cool because they obviously trust me enough to, yeah.
What are some of the common mistakes that people make when, like, do you see, I mean, like, obviously you see other hairdressers. Yeah. What do you do? Do you go to another hairdresser?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you see other hairdressers at work and you obviously have a keen interest in it yourself. So what are some of the key mistakes that a hairdresser can make, do you think? What are some of the common ones? What are some of the big ones that you're just like, oh, no, they did that again?
Okay. So you know how your hair's quite thick and it likes to stand up, right? Especially on the side bit. Yeah. Anyways, so a lot of people, when they don't know how to fix an issue, they bring the thinning scissors out and they thin the absolute crap out of the hair because there's less hair there so they can manipulate it a little bit more. Yeah, don't do that. And don't thin out the people's crown unless you aren't, like, thin them out, thin the crown out if you really want, if they've done you dirty, for sure, 100%. But, like, don't thin people's crowns out and don't chop them off.
What's a crown?
A crown is that little twisty bit at the back of your head that normally likes to stand up.
Oh, like a cowlick.
No, a cowlick is, a lot of people get these two mixed up. So a cowlick is, you know, when you see at the front of someone's head, right? And it's their fringe. You've actually got one. You've got a really good one. Yep. Okay. That's a cowlick.
Whereabouts?
It literally looks.
This is a
cowlick? It's right here. Yeah. That bit at the front. Yep.
Okay. That's a cowlick. Okay.
Yeah. That one's a cowlick.
There you go.
If it's not cut right, it stands horribly.
Why
and
do they
so
call it a cowlick? Is it because it looks like the lick of a cow?
It literally looks like how a cow has licked you.
Wow. Is that literally what the, like, how the name came about?
I actually don't know. But that's what I think of when I see a cowlick. I'm like, that literally looks like a cow has licked your forehead.
I'm going to look up the origins of the word cowlick after this, 100%.
Totally. And so a crown.
What other mistakes do you see?
People chop crowns off. They can't work out how to make a crown sit properly, so they just chop it off. so it doesn't stand up. And what that does, it means when it grows back, 1, 2, 3 weeks later, it stands up like a cockatoo's crest, basically. It stands.
Gotcha. Is there any other mistakes that you think that hairdressers make regularly that they could easily avoid?
Totally, yeah. There is cramp. So hairlines. They try and fix a hairline. So people, have you heard the term to get shaped up, right? Or box up the front?
No, I haven't.
No?
Oh, yes, I have.
Literally.
Yep, I have.
Yep. To get boxed up, right? So a lot of people, especially you'll find this in a lot of like African-American, like curly Afro hair, they're so particular about whoever cuts the hair because it's such a hard type of hair to cut. So people stuff it up super duper easily. And so what they do is because they can't do it, they push hairlines back, whether it's the side bits here or whether it's the front bit through here. A lot of people... Same as your nape. If the nape's not done properly, they'll normally fade it all out or they'll just leave it crooked. Like you have to look at the person as a whole at the end because obviously we've all got different muscles and we're all shaped very differently. So, and another one, the client can be crossing their legs in the chair. It's enough. So when you cross your legs, you twist a little bit. So by the time you walk out, you're actually constantly crooked.
So those are things that I should now look out for when I'm getting my hair cut by you.
Totally, yep. But gotcha. See, the good thing about you is because you are so tall, you put your legs out straight. You don't twist.
I'm glad. I often find myself like crossing my legs. Actually, I feel like it's, I don't know where it comes from, but I find like when I'm like just sitting around, like I always cross my legs. People always call me out like, why are you crossing your legs? But anyway, what about some of the mistakes that people that roll in and ask for a haircut, do you think that common mistakes, not just in terms of like the styling, because that's a matter of opinion and you know, everyone has a different style, whatever. But, you know, do you think there's any mistakes that people make, clients make when they come in and actually request for a haircut?
Oh, totally. So it can be just simply, obviously, not having the right photo. This is going back to one of your first questions, is not having the right style, right? But with a certain style that they want or depending on where they're from, right? We have lots of different types of hair from different countries, yes? So bear that in mind as well, right? Do your homework. It's no different to you going and getting a tattoo. Have a look at the artist. Look at to see if that artist is the right fit for you. Yeah, just do a little bit of research. It's not that hard. We've all got social media. And have a look or even just simply the feel of the shop or read the reviews. So there are so many little things that you can actually do that will help that.
And I suppose at the end of the day, like if you roll into a random salon that you've heard good things about and get like a negative experience from, like it's only, like I know they can be expensive, but it's only like a little bit of money once and you can like decide and go, well, hey, I won't go back to them again or, you know, I didn't really communicate well with them or we didn't get along. But, like, it's not like the end of the world.
No.
And there's so many hairdressers out there these days that you can be, I feel like you can be a little bit more selective.
Oh, totally. And, again, this goes back to you doing your homework on the person that you choose to cut your hair. Like, yeah. Even if
– I didn't do any homework. I'll admit, I didn't do any homework on you. I just rolled into the shop that was local and you were there.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why I started, kept coming back. I think I'm a creature of habit. So once I go once – like, and then obviously, you know, obviously, like, I find you easy to talk to. So that's a big one for me. Like, if I can communicate to the person and it's not like this awkward, like, you know, when, like, I've had this before when you go to a hairdresser, you can tell that they're like asking you questions for the sake of like buying their time with you. And they're just waiting to ask the next generic question. And you get to the end of it and it's almost like they've had these like scripted questions that they've had to ask. Yeah. Like, oh, how's your day? Like that's usually how most hairdressers start. But then like, you know, there'll be another generic question and another generic question. Yeah. And it just becomes this, I don't know, it just becomes this like unnatural thing. Whereas I like it to be a bit more casual, talk about whatever. And then, yeah, like before you know it, your haircut's done, you're out. So,
well, yeah.
That's probably one that I look out for. It's just that like scripted robot approach.
Yeah, but it's the same in the same token, really. It's as a hairdresser. So I started hairdressing before I became a barber, and a lot of barbers actually are hairdressers. But in a hair salon, the first rule is not to talk about yourself. You are there to to talk to the other person. You're not there to sit there and put your problems onto that other person. So you have to be, hence why the scripted questions is them not talking about themselves. So in my case, I will ask certain questions to try and find a middle ground. It makes it easier for me. It makes it easier for you. And all of a sudden, I become a whole lot more approachable. When you can go, oh, okay, yeah, so you like to fish. I like to fish as well. Where's your favorite place to go fishing? Or something like that. So it's about finding that common area to have that chat, to make the person feel a little bit more at ease with themselves, at ease with you, and things like that. Because when some people, and so a lot of people can't help this, a lot of people are super anxious people. And I'm not sure if it's because if I'm a female in quite a male dominated industry as well, some people get really, really nervous to talk to me. And I think I'm quite an approachable person, but it's because I'm a female that they really struggle. And they get the sweats on or something like that. It's, yeah. And then they get embarrassed and things like that. Whereas a lot of us, we really don't care.
What about the best part? What do you think, like, for those that are listening to the show and thinking, all right, so you're cutting hair every day, that's cool, but what's the best part of the job, do you think? And what's the worst part?
The best part. Okay, let's start with a good one. The best part is the amount of amazing people that you meet. Like, a lot of my friends, I've met them through cutting their hair, and I have had some of the most amazing friendships that I probably would never have made, because obviously we all have different social circles, and so you get to meet all the different people in the world, and so yeah, because of that, it's, yeah, that and making people feel good about themselves. I am a massive, yeah, it's a big thing for me, to especially a lot of young men. A lot of young men are very troubled. They have poor confidence, they have no self-esteem, and a lot of them are dealing with mental issues. So for me to actually be able to help them and for them to see me as a person that they can come up to and go, hey Jazz, can we have a chat about this, and for them to feel completely and utterly comfortable and their trust in me to let them into this little part of their life, makes me feel like I'm making a difference in making that world just a happier, maybe a little bit better place for some people. The worst is, for me, the sexism. Yeah, that one sucks.
How so?
We're in 2023. We're way past the point of men are more higher than women and things like that. And I don't mean to go into that certain bit entirely, but in a lot of different cultures, women are beneath them. And obviously, in a barbershop, you have lots of different people coming through. You meet lots of different people. And, yeah, I'm quite a strong, somewhat abrupt, some may even say a little bit arrogant. And so when people start kind of belittling me, I don't like it. I don't take it very well. And a lot of female barbers in particular will put you in your place if you do that to them. And it will be a very uncomfortable experience for you.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. I think I understand what you mean. Like, yeah, you are going to be exposed to a whole range of cultures and, yeah, different belief systems, different religions. And, of course, it's no excuse for it, but it's just the reality of your profession.
Oh, like, totally.
You're going to be faced with that all the time.
Yeah.
What about for all the men out there with a beard, and salute to every one of you that's listening to this show that has a beard, because it changed my life getting a beard. So get a beard if you don't have one. If you guys are listening to this and you do not have a beard yet, you need to get yourself a beard. And if your partner says it's too scratchy, and if your partner says this or that, just get the beard and compromise. Maybe don't get totally the really long beard that you want, but get a bit of stubble or something. It's worth it. But now that I've said all of that, I've probably got a lot to learn about maintaining a good beard.
Yep.
What are the strategies? What are the skills? What are the techniques? What are the ways we can look after a good, solid beard so that it's looking fine from all angles?
One, look after your skin. There's no point in having a fabulous beard if you've got beard dandruff. And look, I'm not having a go at beard dandruff. It happens to some people. But wash your face. Use the right products. Ask your barber. And if you don't like what the barber said, go and ask another barber. There are so many great products out there now, whether it's organic, whether it smells good, because let's face it, what's the one good thing that most women like about a man when they hug him is how he smells. So if you've got a really nice beard oil, that will get you bonus points because you smell good. And if it's clean, yeah, half your job's done there. But look after your skin.
What about beard oil? Like you mentioned, like beard, is that an oil? Like are those oils scented?
Yeah. Yes. So I have a great range at work. And they have, I love them because they're a little bit cheeky. They're a little bit cheeky. The name. So the name of the beard oil itself, as well as the scents, they're all named differently and they are very cheeky. And it's a great conversation starter.
Gotcha. What about like grooming it? Should people with beards be using their own set of clippers and getting used to that?
Totally. Maybe say for your case, yeah, probably. You could probably trim your own beard, yeah. So if you are looking at trimming your own beard, here's a few little tips that are a must have. And I will preach this to a lot of my clients that come in that have beards. I will show you how to look after it at home. First rule is if you get a set of clippers that are yours, yeah, go for a bigger number. Don't go small. If you want to end up on the smaller side, on the side bits here, that's all cool and well. But you start off with two to three sizes bigger than what you actually want. And when you do it, go down. Do not go up. If you're going up, you're cutting the hair against its grain. And when you do that, obviously you're going to get holes, and that's where a lot of men in particular, they stuff up that little bit through here because they take it too short and it's got holes in it. So go down and don't follow the face. Go literally straight down, and that way you can bring it up later. My other tip is everyone stuffs up with a line underneath through here, yeah? My goal or my bit that I like to tell everyone is 2 to 3 fingers above your Adam's apple. You want to keep it a V down here. What it does, especially if you have let's just say some men like to grow a beard because they don't have a jawline, right? So that way you can keep it nice and short and sharp through here. And what that does is makes that jawline pop that little bit more. Also, if you have, let's say you have a wider face, for instance, going straight across down the bottom makes you look like a cube. If that's what you're going for, then that's all good. But if you actually slightly curve it to a slight V, it makes it look so much better.
Yeah, I think there's that other thing too. Like when your hairdresser does that area, like around the neck at the front, like if you've got a pair of clippers, one thing that I try and do, which is just revitalizes my beard enough to kind of get me through to the next cut, is just to go back over those same lines that you've gone and established for me. So it might be like 2 weeks in just trimming back that regrowth. So it's always a useful
strategy. Yeah.
Well, Jasmine, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you for coming on and sharing us your wisdom when it comes to haircuts and hairdressing. You know, some people think that a haircut's just a haircut, and maybe it is, but I always think that behind every profession, anything that somebody does, there's always more than meets the eye, and I think you've shared that with us here this evening, so I really appreciate your time. Jasmine, if people want to get in touch and get in contact and maybe even come and experience a haircut from you yourself, where should people go? How can they find you? And if people want to follow the stuff that you do, where can they go?
Cool. So we have a Facebook page. It's the Liverpool Street Barbershop. That's where I work. My personal one is I've only got Instagram, which is barbergirl91. It's just under my name, Jasmine Paul, and you can find me on Instagram. That's also how you make appointments with us as well. So you send us a DM with your preferred time and date, and we will try and accommodate to those times that you need.
Awesome. And I can testify for all of those listening, it is fantastic service, great haircuts and consistent product. So once again, Jasmine, appreciate your time, and we'll see you soon for my next haircut, hopefully not too far away.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Well, There you go, crew. My big takeaway from this episode is that I really do need to invest in a few extra beard products like oils and balms to give my beard the love it deserves. Also, it got me thinking that I probably need to get to the barber more often because I am really quite slack at getting in for a trim. Remember, if you took value from this episode, please be sure to share it with a family member. And if you haven't already done so, please make sure you have clicked subscribe on Apple Podcasts or follow on Spotify to stay up to date with all of our episodes. Follow us on Instagram at Mr. TM Walters for key insights on all of our episodes. And of course, watch this space for the new format of video coming very soon. In the meantime, crew, have a fantastic week. Take care, and we'll see you shortly.